as you get closer.
Okay.
Log Talk Radio.
Show for February 17th, 2013. And this is Richard Olson and
Sherry, but mostly Richard today.
And who's our sponsor this week, Sherry?
Oh, I forgot to say that. We're being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and SoundHealth. The particular software that we're going to be talking about is Nano Voice. It has a slight tinge of compatibility to what Pam is going to say to us, but she is much more exploratory in that she has colors she's going to be talking about that we don't even have on our chart. So we love her as a guest. We're also dual broadcasting for those of you who want to see what we're doing, and we'll be looking at Pam Osley's website, lifecolorscity.com. Please mute yourself when you come in. We've got somebody who's got a mic open, and it really needs to be muted. There. We don't know why that Blog Talk decided to do that. Anybody who comes in to listen, their mic is automatically muted. So we've got people talking about their cereal and their toast and whatever else is going on in here, and you hear these strange things. It's because Blog Talk has opted that everybody gets a microphone and it gets to be open, which is a little bit crazy. Nano Voice, for those of you who haven't been with us before, is available 24/7 at Nano, N-A-N-O, voice.org, along with a two-hour class and lots of charts so you can learn to do this program on your own. It does work with Mac with a little bit of gyrations to your computer partition. But we'll be talking about colors, just like the Nano Voice talks about the colors, as we go along today. The color for today, according to the universe, is A sharp, and that is a beautiful deep purple, violety purple. We know that there are frequencies bombarding the Earth from the Sun and the Moon, and that's what controls the tides. NOVA did a really nice show a couple days ago, Earth from Space, and they showed all of these magnetic potentials and colors that are outside of our visual spectrum, and really what is going on in everything that moves around the Earth. And he put something in perspective. He said, if you drew a line from New York to San Francisco and saw that as a spectrum of things that could be seen by something or somebody, our visual spectrum would be a dime on that line. So with our naked eye, we see very little color spectrum. And I guess I didn't catch this. Mute all again. So as we look at those frequencies that come to the Earth, today's frequency is an A sharp. It relates to the elbow. Hepatitis C, any of you who have Hep C, it might rear its ugly head just a little more than usual, so you'll have to be extra cautious. Shigella is one of the pathogens that is open and available right now. It doesn't that have to do with washing your hands after you visit the bathroom, Shigella? Do you know, Richard?
I don't.
I'll have to look it up while we're talking. The other piece of it is B12, and there's a couple of things with the Hep C going on and B12 being in stress that people's energy is going to be fluctuating a bit. So from there, if you want to watch us, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com and go to the radio section that's on the top, and that will give you the link to watch us. Or if you'd like to go to Blog Talk Radio, it's just blogtalkradio.com. The link is also there on our site. And the show is Sound Health Options. If you want to join on Blog Talk, the number is 347-850-1407. Did I get it all?
You did. That was great. Now I think I'll intro. Do you have any announcements you'd like to make, or shall we get straight away to Pam?
We just have one announcement. We're going to be in Santa Fe next week doing a two-day workshop to help Dr. Rogers in spreading the word about cures for Parkinson's. So if you have an organization that wants us to do something for you, a two-day course, get in touch with us. Or if you know of any show or workshop or whatever, what else they call them, conferences, colloquiums, where we could be useful, please let us know. My email, just sherryedwards@gmail.com. And I've just put an announcement in the chat that Pam welcomes calls. And thank you for that reminder. I am not recording, isn't that awful? About 9 times out of 10, I forget to do that. But we are all recorded on Blog Talk Radio, and it usually takes them about a half hour to get everything up. Over to you, Richard.
Okay, so let's get right into, I'll do a short intro of Pam, and I say short just because there's so much we could talk about her. I'll do the Pam Owsley, one of our favorite guests, which is really, really true, will be joining us again to discuss emerging human potential, the owner of our thoughts to create reality, and how quantum physics is catching up with ancient history. Acknowledging the human energy field and how Pam works with the energy field and how we get to play in the world of quantum physics, and also to talk about her newly improved, really very yummy site, lifecolorcity.com. Welcome, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I know that both of us are in the warmer part of the country in California, so we're all like warm and cozy, and Sherry's back there thinking she needs to break a chair into kindling and start a fire to keep warm. It's amazing.
Well, Sherry, I hope you're doing important work out there while we're enjoying the sunshine in an early spring.
We are trying, and right before the show, I ran to another room and got a little heater, so although I'm still bundled up in my coat and my nose is cold, I'm getting warmer.
Oh, no. I posted something the other day asking people what colors show up first for them in spring, because we're seeing a lot of white and yellow and pinks, and people posted all over the place about, yeah, we get whites and yellows and purples, and then I had a bunch of people go, are you kidding me? We're under 4 feet of snow. We're not going to see any color till April. It was very funny.
It's amazing. Well, so I have an odd question for you, Pam, right out of the gate, of course. Now, did you watch TV as a kid growing up?
We didn't really have a TV when I was growing up. We were too poor, but I did watch some shows. Is there a show in particular you're curious if I saw?
Yeah, Bewitched.
Bewitched? Oh, heck yeah. I love that show.
So did you have Samantha as a role model growing up? I was thinking about it as I was listening to your TED Talk again and just thinking about it in general of, in history, as the things that you're talking about. I mean, Samantha, for those of you that are not familiar with it, just look up Bewitched and this will make more sense. Samantha really did so many of the things that you talk about now.
Right.
And I kind of go with the, you know, science fiction becoming science fact. I mean, she went from different dimensions, she went to different times, she just, you know, at the blink of an eye, or in her case, the wiggle of a nose, she was in, you know, different places and times and altered her reality.
You know what? That is so cool. I totally forgot about that. And I don't know if she was one of my mentors. I loved the show. You know what I first remember is Disney and the Fairy Godmothers and Fantasia, where the wizard with the magic wand and Mickey got a hold of it and started making the brooms carry pails of water. To me, that was like, okay, all right, I know we can do that. I know we're magical. I know we can do that. So, and then Samantha, of course, was just magic, and then Nanny and the Professor. There were a lot of shows back then that showed about magic, and I love that you asked that, Richard, because I believe that's one of the reasons why our fairy tales with children are so popular, the ones with magic, or even Harry Potter. It's all about magic. There's something in us that knows that we're capable of doing these types of things. And then we get taught out of it. We get taught, well, that's not reality. That's, you know, that's fantasy. And I went, well, I don't know, guys.
I don't know. I think it's always, I think it's always been the allegory. You know, it's been the use of the allegory, and I think it's Samantha is one of those allegories of, you know, here's a possibility. And I know that there's a lot of times, not unlike sort of the use of the court jester, where they're really talking about really serious things, but they're doing it as a gesture. And that allegory cinematically of the sort of blunt, you know, bumbling witch. You know, even the alchemists are portrayed as sort of like, oh, knocking things over and twirling around, and you know, or when, as you say, when Mickey and Fantasia gets a hold of the wand and suddenly there's water everywhere and dancing hippos, and you know, it's like, wow, it's, you know, but it's really, it's all about the thing that you talk about so much,
yeah.
That foundational, you know, particle versus wave. It's all how we think about it. It's how we imagine it. That's all a possibility.
Right, and I love that you brought that up, too, with Mickey. You know what they've done most of the time is scared, made us afraid of our power. And, you know, we call something magic that we don't understand, but once we understand how something works, the principles, like, you know, an airplane flying, aerodynamics, they thought that was magic or impossible until we discovered the principle of aerodynamics. So, yes, all the things in quantum physics that they're telling us, it's like it would look like magic to us, but real. But do you see how often throughout the ages they've frightened us? They get us afraid of our power. Oh no, people abuse that kind of power, and there's dark magic, which I don't believe in, and you know, they scare us. Or bumbling, like look at Mickey got into trouble because he didn't know how to use that power. Or even Atlantis, remember, they scared us. It's like, oh, they had all these amazing powers and they abused it and they destroyed themselves. So of course everybody hides from it, but I think there's an awakening going on, at least to me. And I feel like I'm one example, and of course Sherry can hear sounds coming off of people. I'm one example of what I believe our consciousness is capable of doing. And there's so many other people on the planet waking up and discovering those same abilities or developing those same abilities that, I don't know, it excites me.
Well, I would jump to last week we did a show with somebody else in a completely different category, but he used a phrase that I really like because it seems like it is, you know, you're the poster child for this, is, do you think that you are the new normal?
Yes, I do. I do believe I'm the new normal. It's amazing. I mean, so I'm an intuitive, or I like to use the word expanded consciousness or expanded abilities. Advanced abilities, whatever, we all have it. If I can do it, that means everybody's capable of doing it. And I'm encountering more and more people that are realizing that they always had this ever since they were a child. So I absolutely believe that I'm the new normal.
Hold on one second, Richard.
Sure.
Karen has a question or a comment, and I can't get her to answer me in chat, so... If you're going to raise your hand to ask a question, please talk to me in chat so we can set it up.
Okay.
Well, I'll interject a question actually from Norm I see in chat that is, aren't we the strongest voices to talk ourselves out of our innate abilities?
That is awesome. That's a perfect statement. We are. We're the only ones that can stop ourselves from being amazing, and we do it out of... either one, not believing it's possible, because everyone else says, no, 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 you're imagining, that's crazy, you can't do that, you need to face reality. And of course, now that quantum physics is saying there are parallel universes and multiple realities, I always want to say to people, well, whose reality am I supposed to be facing? Yours? The cats? You know, the judge, the police officer, whose reality am I supposed to be facing other than my own? So yes, we talk ourselves out of it, either fear or pleasing others or believing that it's not even possible. Yes.
It's amazing. I think I have to pause for a moment. I realized that I couldn't help myself. Dove right in. I guess I should have you tell the audience, in case people don't know, you know, what you do. I mean, in terms of your, you know, if you have a session with Pam, what does that look like? What do you do?
Well, let me explain to people that I use a sixth sense or an expanded consciousness. So, you know, the old term is psychic, although I don't know. I think that term is just not PC anymore. I don't know. So I have psychic abilities. I can see people's past, present, future. One of the tools that I use is I can see energy fields or auras. And I can tell a lot about a person based on their aura colors. And we've had this discussion before with Sherry and Richard, that basically the different aura colors, the person's life colors, reveal their personality, the life theme, what you've decided to do in this lifetime, careers that are going to be most fulfilling for you, relationship styles, potential health problems. They're all revealed in the bands, the life color bands, the two bands of colors closest to your body. Now, I believe that all of us see things differently or experience things differently, so this is the ability that I have. If people see or sense those energy fields differently, it doesn't mean somebody's right and somebody's wrong. It just means that we've developed a different way of connecting with that energy. I also can talk to people on the other side. So when people come to see me, a lot of them are looking for direction, life purpose. Some of them are having relationship issues. Some of them are looking for love. Some people are having health issues. I have doctors and therapists send me their clients a lot. When they get stuck, they can't figure out what's wrong. And I go and look and see what's going on. I have a lot of people, if you can believe this, hospice is actually sending me clients because I can talk to people who have crossed over, or I can see who's waiting for someone who's about to cross over. So to me, Richard, it's like the veil's getting thinner, the veil's lifting. Once you open your senses to know that all of this is possible, that it's very natural, that it's basically who we are, we're much more infinite and expanded beings than we've been taught, then you can do all of these things and more. And one of the things, since you watched the TED Talks, the other thing I have learned how to do now, although I'm still learning it, it comes and goes, is moving through parallel universes. Being able to shift my life dramatically by shifting into a parallel reality, which, again, just what you said, Richard, it sounds like science fiction, but it is becoming science fact. So as long as science and quantum physics is discovering new things about reality, I want to be able to use that new information. I don't want to just go, oh, that's great, everything's energy, now what do we do with that? Oh, great, there's parallel universes. Well, what do we do with that? I want to be able to use it to benefit my life and the lives of others. So these are the places that I explore.
And is it possible, can we toss in, we have somebody who'd like to volunteer to have you do this. Can we do that now? Is this an okay time?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Sherry's in charge of that. So she's going to open this person's mic, and then you're going to hear her talk.
Okay. Karen, do turn off your speaker so we don't get an extra sound, so that you're just having your microphone open?
Okay, I'm trying to figure out where I find that. It usually pops up and I don't see it.
Well, we're not getting an echo right now, so Pam, what do you need her to do?
Karen, what color hair and eyes do you have? And I'll check you out.
My eyes are kind of hazel colored. And my hair is mostly brown with some gray.
Okay, when you say hazel, is that green-brown to you or green-blue?
More blue.
Okay, so blue with a little bit of green, yellow. Get very specific so I can tune into you, okay?
To tell you the truth, I've never looked that close.
Oh, my gosh. You've got a little bit of gray in your hair, and you haven't looked at your eyes, huh? I love that. So mostly blue with a little bit of what, green, you think?
Yes.
Okay, and then when you say, see, what I'm doing is connecting with her. I'm getting a visual. So, Karen, when you say you have brown hair, is that light, medium, or dark brown hair?
It's a rather dark brown. Not really dark, but it's getting darker every day.
It was lighter before, right?
Medium brown, originally.
Medium brown. Okay, let me just look at you, okay? It's interesting because I do see some of that blue in your aura. Boy, Karen, you're going through some shifts right now. This part of you that's not sure what to do with your life or changes. Oh, good. Look at all the crows that just showed up for you. You've got blue. It feels to me that you were born with a little bit of yellow. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. You've added some tan in there, but oh my gosh, I'm seeing violet around you. I'm seeing green around you. You've got a lot of colors in there, Karen. So that shows me, excuse me, there's a part of you that's still trying to figure out who you are and what will make you happy. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but it's taking an awful long time.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. The two ways that I feel drawn to encourage you is, one, I love you exploring your spirituality. Really spend a little bit more time with that in meditation, prayer, whatever, connecting with you, because I feel like you've been lost for a while and you're actually a good soul. Blues came here to be in service, so they either want to teach people or counsel people or help people, and I feel like not everybody has accepted you, so that's made you go, well, what good am I? But you do have that blue. They're intuitive. They're psychic. And you've covered it up with all this tan, going, well, I can't do that. I have to be practical. I have to pay my bills. But I don't get you were born a tan, Karen, so that means you're not going to be fulfilled just doing that kind of work. The other area that I feel drawn to encourage you in is expressing yourself through creativity. Whether that's making something or writing, I feel like that's suppressed with you. And I don't care if you even just go garden, but you need some outlet with your creativity. And I'm even hearing to encourage you to, like, write in a journal or something. So if you can create the, oh, my gosh, I feel like there's this whole side of you that felt so lonely. Like, you can't connect with people. It's like you haven't found your tribe or some of your tribe's gone away or something. But the blue is about spirituality, helping others. So if you explore your spirituality, spend time in prayer, find ways to help people and get over that issue that, you know, you feel disconnected and you're not sure who would let you help, find that and then really look at your creativity. So I feel like you actually were born with more of that yellow, and yellows are big kids at heart. They're fun-loving, they're free-spirited, they're creative, they're healers, they like to connect with nature. And it's so suppressed with you, Karen, I can barely see it. Do you understand? Because you've learned how to cover it up by being a tan, which there's nothing wrong with a tan except for that's not your natural color. Tans are practical, responsible. I should get a job. I need a paycheck. Need to be responsible. And you actually feel more fun-loving and loving and more playful than that, but it's suppressed you. Does that make sense to you?
Somewhat. I was just wondering if perhaps I've been through a pretty severe trauma recently.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. That'll knock you off center, and that'll show me why you've got so many things like that are not grounded right now, or, you know, they've upset you. Absolutely. Was that the loss of someone or a death or a loss?
Back in December, I took a nasty fall, and I've got two broken hands, two broken arms, and I had a broken leg is healed, though.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you would say that, Karen. So it's a loss of your mobility then. So here's the deal. Yellows, when they're not happy, it goes to their bodies. And it's interesting. Yellows usually either injure their backs, legs, knees, anything that's skeletal, their bones and stuff. So basically, your yellow was trying to get you to pay attention, to either slow down or wake up and do what makes you happy. Now, the good news, Karen, you are a natural yellow, even though it's a little suppressed. Yellows can heal their own bodies. They're natural healers. So if you keep talking to it and love it and find out what it really wants to do and what was hidden in there that wasn't making you happy all along, you're probably going to heal a lot faster. Tans think they just need to go, you know, do medicine and follow the doctor's rules and put on casts, which that's fine, but you're not really a tan. Yellows can heal their own bodies. okay? So basically, that was a little bit of a wake-up call for you. That doesn't mean you have to get old. It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, injured now and script the rest of your life. You really can get that better. I'm just going to, remember I said spirituality? I'm going to recommend that you go inside and ask your body, ask your beingness what you were not fulfilled doing, what you were still doing to just please other people or get on with your life with blinders on, and you weren't paying attention to what your soul really wants you to do.
Well, I've had real conflict as far as profession goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, it was just a little wake-up call for you. Please don't see it as the beginning of the end or, you know, we blues, we get into victimhood and martyrdom and self-pity. And blues are such loving people. They just want to do a good job, and it's all about love. They want to be loved, and they want to give love. So if you can just learn to really love yourself, I feel like you can heal that. You just need to find what's going to be fun for you, and you'll probably heal a lot faster. Yellows have to have fun. If they're not having fun, they get depressed.
Well, I've been away from home, like I said, since December, trying to heal, and it gets a little trying. I miss being home.
Yes, well, that's a blue. We blues are very, I'm a blue too. We blues are homebodies, and Sherry's actually got blue and violet, which is an interesting combination, but we blues are homebodies. So I know you're going to get back home. It's just we want you to connect with your spirituality and your creativity and find what brings you joy and how you're going to help people, and then I feel like everything will get better.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
So as long as you're there, that's so perfect that you said that. Well, on so many levels, all of that is fabulous. A, that yes, I'm a big old honking yellow, and it's really important that we have fun. So that's really, I will back that, you know. Yeah. Then there's the, I'll just move past that quickly to, yellows must have fun, is that, okay, so let's talk about Sherry. Her back is turned. She's busy managing WebEx over there. So Sherry is a blue-violet. Is there more to that? Could you paint that out?
Oh, that is such an unusual combination. Blue-violets are somebody doing two lifetimes at once. So blues are about helping people. Blues come from their heart. They're very intuitive. They're very psychic. Man, she's got a lot of violet now, though, Richard. So blues start out going, I want to have a home. I want to have marriage. I want to have a family. I want to help people. They start out basically living on that level. Violet, when that violet kicked in, violets are, oh, no, I need to do projects, I need to help the masses. Blues are homebodies. Violets feel like they need to expand their reach and either travel or reach the masses. Now that we have technology, it makes it easier. But violets are here, blues are here to bring love to the planet, to experience love, to give love, and to learn to be love. Violets need to improve the quality of life for people. They need to do it on a big scale. They need to reach the masses. So a blue will go, well, I just want to stay at home and be happy. And a violet goes, no, you don't. No. We have big projects to do. We have to help make a difference here. We have to educate the masses. And violets are usually drawn either into the media, the communication fields. They're writers. They're designers. They're filmmakers. Anything creativity to reach the masses. They're performers. They're speakers. Or they get drawn to teaching or psychology or, you know, the healing, something that makes a difference with the masses. They have to make a difference so they feel restless. Or they get drawn to politics, law, or causes. Violets can get very frustrated with the state of the world. It's like they're very global conscious. So it's like, why don't people get this? It's bigger than this. And so violets want to expand people. So when I see somebody doing a blue and a violet, that's usually somebody that either goes, okay, I'll come back to the planet again and do this one more time, but please don't make me come back here again because it's so dense here and it's so traumatized and everyone's so much in pain. I just don't really want to be here. Can I just help from the other side next time? Because violets are kind of old souls. They just know things. They're very wise. They're visionaries, and they just know things, just like blues. They're the two of the most psychic of all the aura colors. So violets are like, all right, if I tell a violet, you know, you better do what you came here to do or you're going to make yourself come back to this planet again, they all go, oh, no, don't tell me that, it's too hard. But a blue violet is either somebody that's going, I'll do it all now, just let me do it all in one lifetime, or in another lifetime they didn't learn enough about their blue, in other words, to love themselves. So they're coming here to learn that lesson, how to love themselves. I don't get that Sherry's issue, by the way. And then they get to kick into that big violet, which is, all right, now how do I help humanity? How do I help the planet? How do I educate the masses?
She just summed up our last 10 shows and the last 10 years of my life.
Oh, Sherry, you have so much violet in your aura. It's amazing. I can barely see your blue anymore. It's very violet. So violets always know they have big projects to do. And the interesting thing about violets, because you have violets listening, violets get accused of being unrealistic dreamers because what they want to do seems so big and so impractical and so beyond the norm. Violets usually need to do things that other people haven't thought of yet, or get involved in something big or global. They travel. They need to be famous. And so violets, a lot of times, what Richard brought up, or what your other writer or audience member said, violets can get talked out of things because it seems so unrealistic. So, Sherry, at least you've gone for it. You've known that this is true. You've developed it, and you've actually activated it. So you're doing your violet work. There are a lot of violets out there right now that are confused. They're scattered. They're overwhelmed. They don't know which way to go. They've been told that they can't live that big, and a lot of them have given up on it. And what I see is a lot of violets going into depression, or they're getting very scattered and overwhelmed, and or they're getting sick and leaving, because violets feel like if I can't live what I'm here to do, if I can't live that big, then why am I here? So
I get a lot of conflict, guilt, I guess.
Yeah.
Because my family suffered.
That's a blue.
I have 3 kids and 19 grandkids and 7 great-grandchildren, and I don't get to see enough of them. I miss that part. The people here at the office knew that, and they took 2 walls of my office and filled them with the pictures of all my kids. So that helped a bit.
Oh, that's good. Well, Sherry, that's a blue. Remember I said blues, it's all about family and home and love and commitment. And for blues, family comes first, before themselves even. And blues, they feel guilty. That's how you manipulate a blue. They'll either make other people feel guilty by going, oh, it's okay, don't worry about me, even though I've worked this hard for you. Or blues feel guilty. They feel guilty if they've abandoned their love or their family or whatever. But violets cannot just be sit-at-home housewives and mommies or parents. They have to get out in the world and do projects. They can't just stay at home and do family. So there is a conflict there. But the good news is, Sherry, is that violets are problem solvers. So if anyone can come up with a solution, because violets actually need it all. They want family, love, and to be able to do their mission here, because you violets have a mission, and that comes first above relationships. So if you balance those two out, then you'll be fine.
There was a couple of times, Pam, when I just decided to give up the violet side and just be the home person, and I nearly died both times.
That's it.
With a stroke, you know, just checking out, an accident. So,
That's what I mean by violets. If they're not doing their mission here, then they go, well, then why am I here?
Yeah.
Violets need to be able to do it all. And the good news is, Sherry, if anybody on this planet can do it all, it's a violet. Oprah's a violet with yellow. George Clooney's violet with yellow. Bono is violet with yellow. Spielberg, George Lucas. Beyonce, she's doing her career and still having a family and a husband. That's a violet. They have to dream and think big and have it all.
Thank you, Pam. You put a lot of things in perspective.
Yeah, and another tool for you, violets, really quick. Violets are great advice givers. So I always tell people, do you know the difference between trauma and no big deal? Trauma is when it's happening to you, and no big deal is when it's happening to someone else, meaning that when it's happening to us, our emotional stuff gets in the way, and we can't see clearly. So what I tell violets to do is either listen to advice that you're giving to other people or imagine that somebody's coming to you with your same dilemma and see what advice you give them, because you guys come up with really great advice. You just need to listen to it yourself.
Do we take on other people's stuff? Because I've just been doing that for a lot of years, and the weight's piling on.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because there are 3 colors that actually put on weight the most, blues, violets, and yellows. And I'll tell you why in just a second. Blues take on, they're rescuers. they take on the emotional pain of their family members. They worry about them. It's like, oh, my poor son or daughter, they're going through rough times. So blues are so psychic and so empathetic that, yes, they can take on other people's issues. But Sherry, get this. Violets take on the weight of the world. They get waves of sadness or anxiety or depression or anger, and they think it's all their own. I don't know. You just picked up on a wave that's going on the planet. Because violets keep feeling like they need to help humanity on a big scale, and this is a violet age right now. So violets are in their power time right now, and violets are getting nudged. They're getting squeezed. They're getting the rug pulled out from underneath them if they're not paying attention. So violets take on a huge weight. So each one of those colors needs to learn that loving somebody or doesn't mean you take on their issues. Matter of fact, what I say to a blue is, because blues are such rescuers and they want to, you know, help everybody. They just want to help people. And violets want to help the planet. So what I say is, if you rescue people, you take on their stuff, then basically what you're saying to that person is that you don't believe in them, that you don't trust their soul knows what it's doing, and their soul might be working something out. So the most loving thing you can say to another person is, I believe in you. I trust your soul knows what it's doing. It's like we blues, Sherry, I've got blue too. When kids are learning how to ride the bike, the blue wants to hold onto the handlebars of the bicycle so the child doesn't fall off and hurt themselves. We think that's loving. But what you're actually saying to that child is you don't believe in them, and then they go through life feeling like something's wrong with them. The most loving thing to do is go, I believe in you. I know you can do this. And we've all survived falling off bicycles. But the most important thing is if somebody believes in them, they go, wow, I can do this, I can do this. Look, somebody believes in me. And they learn how to ride the bike, or they learn how to find a job, or they learn how to do their career, or they learn how to get themselves healthy. They need people to believe in themselves, not rescue. Does that make sense?
It does.
So the three colors that put on weight, since you brought that up, blues, violets, and yellows, different reasons. All three of them can put on weight for either one, for protection. Blues especially put on weight below the waist because they're very moral and monogamous and committed, and they don't usually want to sleep with somebody unless they're in love with them. So blues tend to protect their sexuality. The blues put on weight for protection, so do yellows and so do violets. But also if they're unfulfilled, those colors, if they're not doing what they're here to do, if they're not being able to live their life purpose, then they start filling themselves up, trying to feel more fulfilled. Violets have an extra component that I find fascinating. Sherry, you'll love this one. Violets have a lot of charisma, a lot of power. And if they're sitting on it, because violets can intimidate people. Violets are so powerful and they see things so far ahead of other people that people can be intimidated by that. So a lot of violets have learned how to hold back on their power to not upset people. And then it just balloons up inside them. That's one reason. Two, a lot of violets, I found in the times that I, 28, almost 29 years that I've been doing this work, the two colors that are usually physically and or sexually abused as children, violets and yellows, and because violets have a lot of charisma and people are drawn to them because they're natural teachers and leaders and they know answers, so violets, people are drawn to violets, and yellows are healers, so people are drawn to healers. So those are the two colors that get abused, especially sexually when they're children. And so violets tend to put weight on going, no, I'm not sexual, I'm not pet, no, don't get drawn to me. I know I have a lot of charisma and chemistry, but don't find me attractive, because then they don't feel safe. The other reason that violets are put on weight is they need to be seen. Violets have important messages for the planet. They came here to teach people, to educate, to show people and teach by example how we can live an improved, better, unified, globally conscious life. And if violets weren't seen, especially as children, or even now, a lot of violets don't feel seen. They don't feel that people are listening to them. So a lot of violets go, well, if I get bigger, will you see me now? Well, if I get bigger, will you see me now? But who needs to see that violet now is the violet, him or herself. Okay, you need to acknowledge who you really are, that it's okay for you to be powerful, it's okay for you to be a visionary, it's okay for you to teach by example and lead the way. Otherwise, you're down in the pit with everybody trying to figure out how to get out of it, and that doesn't help anyone. Violets are supposed to lead the way by figuring out how to do it, live that big, dynamic, charismatic, live their dreams, live their visions, and then everybody else has permission to live theirs too. But a lot of violets think they're not supposed to do that, or a lot of violets weren't seen, and so then they get bigger to be seen. So interesting, huh, why violets do it?
Yeah, I like that reason.
Well, again, remember, violets have to see and acknowledge themselves and give themselves permission to be that dynamic and charismatic, and then they don't have to worry about protecting themselves.
That was an absolute epiphany for me, because I'd gone through all the other reasons, but that answers some things I'm going through right now, too, with just power things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, even Oprah battles still with her weight. I mean, she's a powerful violet. But you guys don't have to have the weight on to cushion yourself from humanity. you want the power to come from your light and from an inner source so that you don't feel a need for protection or to pad it so that people don't feel threatened by you guys.
Well, there is so much information coming through on that channel. I'm having a hard time writing all of it down. Incredible. Opened a whole field for me.
So I want to, if I may, we're going to jump slightly, and I suggest everybody put on their seatbelt and have their chair comfortable and maybe a beverage, because I'm going to ask you to talk to us about, I think this is a combination, so I'm going to toss them both together, and then you can, of course, choose to, I see them as a mix because they so seem to go together, but it's a heady combination. I've heard you say that consciousness is non-local,
mm-hmm.
and I'm putting that together with talking to us about wave versus particle, because I think that all goes into a giant picture that comes together.
Right, that's right. Let me tell people, too, if they want to know what their aura colors are before we leave that, they can go to my website and take the quiz. It's free. You can read about it. You can watch videos. It's lifecolorcity.com. So you go there and take the little quiz and find out what your colors are, what that means about you, where the conflict is, and how you can balance it so that you're in alignment with yourself so there is no conflict. Now, non-local mind, that's why I can do this type of work. People believe, well, let's put it this way, old science, Newtonian physics, which means Newton, which is hundreds of years old, classical physics, same thing, hundreds of years old, we're still operating out of that belief system that everything's solid and there's only one reality and time flows in one direction and that we age and die and that's it. Quantum physics is saying something completely different, which is mind-blowing. And most people don't understand what quantum physics is saying, so they just ignore it, and we keep going back to the old way of doing things. Quantum physics is much more magical. So classical physics basically says that consciousness is generated by the brain, because they see a bunch of electrical activity in there, you know, things jumping from, you know, point to point to point in the brain, and so they think that's what generates consciousness. But that's like saying that your television set is creating the programs that are in there. It's generating the programs. No, it's being broadcast from something much bigger with these waves of consciousness, these waves that are coming into your set. And your television set is just transmitting. It's just picking it up like the brain does. So it's active, and then that's how we think we perceive. Non-local mind means that our consciousness is not limited to the brain. There's consciousness in our bodies, in every cell in our body, every atom in our body. There's consciousness that expands beyond our body. It's all around us. It's in everything around us, which is what I can do. I'll use the word psychic readings. And so it's kind of the same, Richard, as they say that wave or energy is both a particle and a wave. So basically it's non-local. It spreads out. Energy spreads out everywhere. It's everywhere around us. And when we focus on something, when we decide something, when we choose something, we focus on it. Well, what they used to think is it just snapped into one particle. And that's Schrodinger's cat and the uncertainty principle, all those science things that it's Sunday morning, so I don't know how scientific you want to get here. But when somebody observes, focuses on this wave, it collapses. I used to think it collapsed into one particle, and so it was no longer a wave. It went into one particle. But now what they're what they're believing is that it doesn't collapse at all, that all of those particles that make up the wave, or all that energy that makes up the wave, all those things still exist. We're just focusing our attention on one particle. So I'll tell you the experiment. They did a double slit experiment, just briefly. People can go Google double slit experiment. And actually, if you go to Dr. Quantum, his version, it's kind of an animated version. He makes it kind of simple to understand. But they shot one particle through this partition that had two slits in it, and the wave that showed up on the other side meant to them that the particle actually went into a wave. It didn't just go through one slit at a time. It went through both slits at a time, which means it spread out, went into superposition, or a wave, and it went through both slits at the same time. And they couldn't figure out why it did that, so that's when they finally decided that light was both a particle and a wave. But the interesting thing is then they put an observer, they put a technology there to measure, to watch it, to figure out how and when it did that. But as soon as they did that, the particle stayed a particle. It didn't go through both. It behaved itself. It just went into one particle and went through one slit. So what they noticed is that the observer has an impact, has an effect on reality. And now they're saying that they believe that it's not only affecting reality, but the observer is actually creating reality. So what we focus on, what we believe, we're going to experience as reality. Now, again, this is a heavy conversation for Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon if you're on the East Coast. But that shows us that our consciousness, if we're made up of those same particles. Everything that we're made of is those same particles. So if those particles can be in two places at once, so can we. And the same with our consciousness. It's non-local. It expands all over. There's no limits. There's no limits, which is why I can do a reading for somebody in Europe, never met them. My consciousness instantly connects with them, and I can know all about them on the phone or on the radio, because it's not about the brain. Consciousness is everywhere. We just have to focus our attention, and we can see and observe and learn and create a lot more than we've been taught. Did I just jump all over the place on you, Richard?
No. I'm right there with you. I think it's fabulous. I think it's mind expanding in a way of moving out of the mind into tapping into the consciousness. I started studying the Seth materials in the 70s. That's how old I am. I started studying Seth in the 70s, man.
Me too.
So, the idea of multiplanar existence is sort of is Sunday morning conversation to me. Let's have a cup of coffee and talk about Seth materials. So,
that's my favorite,
absolutely,
too.
I think it's fabulous.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my favorite, too. And, it's interesting because we still have choice. People can still go back to doing their jobs and making, their paychecks and filling gas in the car and complaining about politics. Or we can start looking at there's something really bigger showing up about who we really are and the nature of reality. To me, that's my thing, though. That's what makes life worth living for me. It's like, wow, look at how fascinating it is, which is why I can do the things that I can do. And I've even bent spoons with my mind. So the fact that I can do this stuff, and I'm only one example on the planet of people that can do this, that means there's much more to who we are and much more to reality than we're running around struggling with.
Yeah. I need to jump in here because we have a question that I need to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, does the color test remain only on Pamela's database? Otherwise, I tend to deliberately hide or skew answers to internet survey questions. People, I would trust Pam with my life or any information, any minuscule fact about my life. I would trust Pam to honor and hold it in security.
Oh, yeah. They're the only one that's going to see the answers to their quiz are themselves. We have way too many people on there, so it's all confidential. They're going to be able to see it. And what I encourage people to do when they take the quiz is don't be under some huge traumatic time or under a lot of stress, because you probably will skew your answers. Stay really calm and answer the questions based on who deep inside you believe you really are. not who you've been raised to be, not who the authorities tell you you have to be, not who you've learned how to be because you put yourself in a box. Really answer the questions authentically to who you are, and you're going to discover your aura colors.
It's a great test. I've taken it frequently when I have doubt about myself. When I think, no, that can't be right. I'm not that. I couldn't possibly be that. Oh, no, wait. No, I'm that. All right, I get it. I want to jump back to the... Well, actually, it's not a jump back, but it kind of is. It seems like there's a trend, and I'm interested in your input on this, in... Or it's maybe a trend I'm, beginning to formulate in my own brain also, is the letting the heart take a little bit more charge. And I mean charge in the sense of taking, I don't like to use the word control, but being more involved in our thinking process, in other words, having more that heart-brain connection that in ancient times, like the Egyptians threw the brain away, basically. You know, they just like tossed it aside, but they kept the heart because they had the energy, they had an understanding of what the heart did and the function of the heart. Okay, so there's that in the history. But I see a trend, I'll call it the intuitive community because I don't know what else to call it, of the heart as being more involved in our thinking, feeling process.
I agree, Richard, and I feel like we kind of have to go that way because I don't know about you, but when my head gets involved, it doesn't even let me sleep. It keeps me up all night going, you need to do this, and don't forget to do this, and it criticizes me, it judges me. Now I don't feel like the mind is useless. I just don't want my mind being in charge all the time. I like the heart-centered. It's more intuitive. It's more from the soul. I like to use the word, I feel like the heart sometimes is more connected with the soul because it knows things. It's intuitive. And the mind or the brain or the mind, whatever, it's been trained to believe in certain things. It's been trained to think a certain way. So, and then it runs the five physical senses, and the five physical senses are telling us, you know, this is what's real, and, you know, the world is flat, and it doesn't spin, and, you know, this is what I see and touch and hear. Those are what's real. But the five physical senses deceive us all the time. And I think the mind, same thing, it's been trained to think a certain way, and therefore we perceive a certain way. And so I like that it's becoming more intuitive, heart-centered, more in touch with the soul, basically, is what I think the heart does. It didn't learn to go, wah, 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 wah.
Well, I have a sense, this has been an evolving thought, so I'll just throw this out there, that I think in a certain way, I know it's sort of traditionally in classic, philosophical thinking, the brain has always been where the soul has been located. And I think in a certain sense, I don't know if that's true, and it seems like it's migrating to the heart, or if that's just a projection because I like the idea of us operating in a more heartfelt sense.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to make any part of us wrong, but watch this. All the people that are listening to your show right now, right now, I want you to say, my name is, and point to yourself. Right? My name is, and point to yourself. Okay? Now, where did you just point? Didn't you point to your heart as opposed to your head?
Ooh, that's a good trick. Ooh, that's a good trick. I like that.
Well, it's true. I mean, if you ask somebody, you know, okay, tell me who you are, they point to themselves, I am, or I have, or my name is, and we point to our heart.
That's really
good. Nobody points to their head. I think I am.
Yeah. I think I am. That's it. That's the trick. I really feel that combination or the acknowledging of the combination of being more heartfelt, operating from the heart more principle. And for the people that know me, I don't seem like I'm, well, I don't know. I was going to say I don't seem like I'm heartfelt because I can sound a little acerbic or, you know, off, you know, whatever that is.
I know you're heartfelt. I know who you are.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still behind the curtain. I'm behind the curtain, and I like it behind the curtain. But thank you.
But I know how sensitive you are, too, and how deeply you feel, and how deeply that can confuse you sometimes.
Yeah. But back to the brain. Okay, we'll go back to, see, now you drove me back to the brain. It seems like that is an, do you see that as an evolution, or is that just a choice that some people are beginning to make, or do you sense that we're actually evolving that direction?
Well, you know what? For me, I like to not make any separations and not judge anything, because like people are like, oh, that's the ego, that's bad, that's the brain, that's bad. It's like, it's all part of who we are. We've just gotten out of balance. So we have consciousness and thoughts for a reason. That's how we create. The heart, the emotional part of us, the intuitive part, the soul part of us, that's why we create. So if the head is just in touch, or the mind goes off on its own and thinks, well, I should go do this, then we're off balance. Or if the heart's just like, oh, I'm in love with that person, well, you better think that person's married, or they're an alcoholic, or they've got a lot of problems. Oh, yes, but my heart's telling me. It's like, we need the balance here, okay? So it's like we want both feet balanced, not just one side. So I like to not separate us out or make any part of us wrong, because anytime we judge one part of ourselves, then we feel like we can't trust ourselves, and then we're only operating out of part of who we are. So the fullness, the whole, the wholeness, let's put it this way, when people come to see me and they've got health problems, I always look to the mental emotional issues behind it first, because in my experience, 99% of all illnesses, accidents, whatever, there's always a mental emotional cause behind it, not just a physical, not just, you know, an accident. Well, I got rear-ended. It's like, no, come on, guys, there's no accident. So I know that the mind, the consciousness, our thoughts, and our emotions all play a vital role in who we are and in our creative powers. I don't know if that answered it, but that's what came through.
So it would add, I'll use the phrase because I can help myself. So how all that stacks up, colors, dare I say, how we perceive, how we take in information through the classic, you know, like looking at life through rose-colored glasses. That's really a thing. I mean, we really do have coloration. It's just that we don't have other words for those other colors, that the filters that are created in our mind.
Right.
It seems like.
Right. Well, I want to play a little game with your listeners right now, okay? And Richard, I might have played this with you and Sherry before, not sure. So right now, look around your room, look around your environment, and see everything that you can see that's green, okay? Just look around everything right now, everything that you can see that's green. Really look. Look all the way around you, 360. Look at everything in your environment that's green, okay? Now close your eyes, and with your eyes closed, remember everything that you just saw in your environment that was green. Keep your eyes closed, no cheating. Everything in your environment that was green. Okay, keep it closed. All right, got it. Now, open your eyes and look around and see if you caught everything that was green in your environment. Everything around you, see everything that you saw that was green. Okay, did you miss anything? Richard, Sherry, did you miss anything? Did you not do it?
No, I did it. No, I can hear you.
Okay.
I didn't. I missed a couple things, but not very much.
Okay, good. Close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes.
Oh, okay, now in another space.
You were in another space. Pardon?
I went to some other place, not here.
Oh, that's funny. It's such a violent thing to do, to check out when I start doing some meditative thing. Okay, everybody, close your eyes. All right, now, with your eyes closed, no peeking, with your eyes closed, remember everything that you just saw that was blue. Okay, now, open your eyes and look around and see if you see any blue things in your environment. Okay, did you miss anything, Richard, Sherry?
Yes.
Right, Richard?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. when you were looking around, you had an agenda to look for everything green in your environment. So that's what you focused on. You filtered out everything else. The blue was right there while you were looking at everything else, but you didn't notice it because your agenda was to look for green. That's what we do in our lives. That's how our thoughts work, our trained mind. If our trained mind goes, oh, life is hard, you have to work really hard, nothing ever works out for you, you're going to look around your life and find everything that matches that because that's your agenda. There's probably fabulous things that are going on around you, lots of love coming your way, things that have always that have worked out for you. But if your agenda is to look for what's suffering, then that's what you're going to see. So that's how our minds can filter out what's around us. That's just a little game, a little example, right? That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah. It's slightly, you know, that's why we're, I think, silent is because it kind of bends your mind for a moment going, oh, wow, man, the impact about it is, like, amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Because that is really, I mean, it is so, as you said earlier when you were talking about, you know, I'd really much rather be heartfelt than, because when the brain gets in there, it's just, the brain is just like that ever-ready, you know, monkey going back and forth with the symbols just endlessly. Once the brain, my brain, I'll speak of my brain, once my brain gets on a tangent, it really is like the ever-ready bunny. It is just not going to stop until it runs out of juice.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons I originally got into radio, because my friends got tired of hearing me talk about stuff. They were like, go tell somebody else. Go on, get out of here. So, you know, that's how radio evolved. But it's, you know, that it is that. It's so looking through those, the glasses of filtration at the time that we don't see this other wonderful, juicy, yummy, great things. Or perhaps we do. Or, you know, it's, that is, that's a great trick test. That up there and pointing at the heart, that's really effective. I love that one. That one's really good. Wow.
Right, right. Well, you know what? And again, when people make the ego wrong, the ego was created to help us perceive physical reality. It's not that it's bad or wrong. It just has limited perception. It only learns what we feed it. And it thinks its job is to help us navigate, to protect us, to figure out what's going on in physical reality. It's like the ego was created for us the same way that the eye was created for the body. The eye was created to perceive the physical world, to see what's going on out there, that we can navigate it. But if you only depended on the eye to give you a sense of reality, you wouldn't hear that car coming behind you that could run you over because your eye can't see it. So the ego just has limited perception. It's not a bad thing. It's just limited. So you want your heart and your soul to be able to expand and know things beyond what the brain, the mind, the consciousness thinks it can perceive based on how you've trained it to think.
It seems like a lot like the mind has, I mean, sorry, the ego is founded from the lizard mind, what I would call the lizard mind. That was really about, you know, protecting us and, you know, go out. The classic lizard line is, you know, the runs out of the cave, gets the food, tries to get back without getting stepped on by, you know, a dinosaur or eaten by, you know, something with claws and, you know, talons and, you know, flying. That it was a very much a survival concept. And it worked. There's nothing wrong with lizard mind. It just has a very limited scope of what it does. And it seems like ego sort of comes out of that foundation.
Right, and that's just one part of it, because ego can also create amazing things. Ego can hear from the soul, I really want to create a beautiful piece of music, and ego can go, wow, that's cool, I want to learn how to play piano so I can create a big, you know, a beautiful form of music. So again, I don't feel like it's bad, and I don't think ego or mind is just what you're calling, what you say, lizard brain, because there's lots of aspects to our consciousness. We get to expand it. If we stay in that, and you're exactly right, if we stay in that one version of just survival, which most people on the planet are in that. They're just surviving, just trying to pay the bills, trying to get their jobs, whatever. We go into that survival mode, we're not happy. It's that greater expanded consciousness and heart. It's our consciousness and our emotions that work together to create our lives.
Wow. Part of the wow is I realize that we're at the end of the show, as always, it's like pedal to the metal. We hit the ground running with you, and it's off, and then it's over. Suddenly, it's like, I need to change my particle wave perception of this so it slows down and we can have more time doing it.
Right. So well, at least we gave people something to think about, huh? Something to ponder.
Boy, howdy. There's something to go with your morning macchiato, I'm telling you. So how do people get a hold of you? How do they contact you? How do they, you know?
If they go to my website, Life Colors City, we created a virtual city in there. You can find my contact info. You can find my radio shows, my podcasts, videos, the quiz. I'm putting everything I can come up with. There's the TEDx videos on there. My TV shows, the appearances are on there. Everything is on there, including the contact. And media, there's a calendar on there, too, that shows different events that I'm going to be speaking at or different shows I'm on.
We didn't even really get to talk about how amazing, you know, I think this new redesign of your site is fabulous, just wonderful.
Thank you.
It's nice to look at, of course. It's nice to look at. But, I mean, it's just so packed with, it is so wonderful to have it be the portal for the person that you are and represent everything in one place. It's really nicely done. I can't recommend it highly enough to people.
Thank you, Richard. And I want people to know there's a lot on the site for free for those of you that have poverty consciousness going on or you're trying to be limited. But one of the reasons I have part of it as a membership is because this site is very expensive to keep up, to maintain and to have the web people on it, whatever. So I charge a very minimal little monthly membership fee, and then people get even more benefits. They get all the radio archives, and they can download all the podcasts for free. So it's a very, very small monthly fee if they want the premier membership. Otherwise, there's lots of stuff on there for free. But thank you for becoming a member so that I can afford to keep this site up, because otherwise it was coming out of my pocket, and after years of doing that, whew, man. So, I'm going to perceive everyone as abundant and prosperous and financially amazing, so that, you know, paying $4 or $5 or $6 a month is nothing to you. People spend more than that on one cup of coffee in a day.
Yeah, just give up that double bypass, triple pump, extra caramel latte, and, you know, instead subscribe to your site. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's right. This is food for the soul. Food for the consciousness and food for the soul, and we discuss all these expanded stuff.
From the comments.
Go ahead.
From the comments on the chat, you're going to get a lot of traffic to this site right after the show or probably during the show.
Oh, good, good. I hope people go there and take the quiz and find out their aura colors. It's so cool once somebody finds their aura colors. It gives you permission to be who you really are instead of feeling stuck in what everybody else says you should be.
The color test seems very simple once you step into it. I can't advocate enough for people to take the test. It's not scary. It doesn't hurt. Nobody's watching. And it's a different way of viewing, and it's really a wonderful, you know, it's one of my favorite ways of viewing people in the world. And then also once you begin to learn it a little more, it's a great communication tool with other people that you play with or talk with, because you get to a level of, you know, just sort of casual, like, oh, she's such a yellow, or he's, you know, oh, so tan, or, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful shortcut methodology for talking about your friends in a kind and loving way, of course.
Yes, it allows us to give everybody else permission to be who they really are instead of going, how come you can't think more like me? You're supposed to be more like me. It's like, oh, you're an orange or you're red. Okay, I get it. That's cool. And then thank you, Richard, for saying that. It helps people communicate with each other in an open and loving way instead of a judgmental, critical way.
Yeah, I try and give up that judgmental, critical way. I try and say it with a smile on my face. Let's do that.
Oh, we all still have our buttons a little bit, but we're getting better and better every time.
But the buttons are wonderful. They tell you which direction not to go.
There you go. As long as it's helping to guide us, not stuck in judgment and criticism and being stuck there going, blah, 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 blah. If it guides us, I love that, Sherry. If it guides us which way to go instead of not go, that is so perfect.
That's
wonderful.
Things like being upset with somebody or being depressed, it's all a road sign says,
yes,
work here.
Agreed. Or don't go this way. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love it.
That's wonderful.
Pam, you're a wonderful guest. I love having you on.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate playing. I love playing with you guys. You're so much fun to be. And thank you for letting me just, you know, tell my story and share my experiences. I appreciate the support and the contacts and playing with you.
Tell people about your radio show and what they can expect.
That's on my website, too. You can go there. So it's live in Santa Barbara, but it's also simulcast live on the Internet, so people can listen to it live. They can listen to all the archive shows if they want to. I do readings a lot on the air when I do my show, and I have amazing guests that come on that share their wisdom and fun stories and tools on how to find love, tools on how to create abundance, tools on, I just had somebody on, or there's somebody coming up that's going to be talking about getting over grief in 30 minutes as opposed to years. It's amazing. I just had, you know who, wait, don't tell me I know. The Beatles producer. Why am I spacing on his name? The Beatles producer, the guy that produced all their music.
I know who you mean, but I can't pull up his name.
Isn't that funny? I just spaced on his name. Anyway, I just had his son. We pre-recorded because I'm on my way to Hawaii. Thank you very much. And he's going to be on my show on March 4th. He grew up with the Beatles. It's a fabulous story. And he's an actor and a producer and a writer himself. But he's also been psychic since he was 4 years old. And he talks to John Lennon all the time. So that was a cool thing, too. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm spacing on his name. I love these
George
guys.
George Martin.
Thank you. And his son is Gregory Martin. Thank you very much. So that's
that was,
on March 4th.
That was Colleen from the chat. I just was
thank you,
what
Colleen.
She wrote.
I have some great guests coming up. I have some great guests on the archives. I'm providing as much as I can to help people with as many vehicles, whatever speaks to them, on my site.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And can they buy your books from your site?
Yes, they can. Or they can go on Amazon. They can go, yes, my book's Life Colors, which talks about the aura colors and their careers and family and health and all that. Or Love Colors, which is specifically on relationships and who you're compatible with and what you need in a relationship to be happy. And then I have my book, Make Your Dreams Come True. Those are all on my site. And I also have guided imagery meditations to help people change their beliefs so that they're happier and freer. One to let go of a red overlay. I have all kinds of CDs, MP3s, downloads. I have so many things on the website. You could be there for a long time and still discover new treasures.
It is amazing. That was one of the things I loved about the new site, is that when I was there poking around and watching the TED Talk and doing everything, is that everything is now in one aggregated location.
Mm-hmm.
So that not only when I would refer people to you, I can just say, go here. And there is an amazing amount of information available there for free. And, you know, as you say, to give up that, double latte a day to join as a member would be really fabulous.
I mean, seriously, $5 a month, $4
yeah.
a month, seriously, for
yeah.
all this information. It's great.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
And there's a match site. There's a dating site on there, too, for free if people want to go and meet people with compatible aura colors.
Because that
helps.
All right, well, I hate to do this, but
I covered up the phone, but not the speakerphone.
That was okay. It was far away. You went far away. That's okay. All right, well, as always, Pam, you've been, delightful, informative, and slightly mind-bending. You bend spoons, you bend minds. I love that.
That's right. Well, thank you again for having me on the show, and I appreciate you sharing this with your listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much. And
yes,
Sherry, any closing thoughts? Other than your,
No, my mind is too blown.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Pam's such a troublemaker.
people loved it. Lots of
good.
Very wonderful
really fabulous.
Comments.
Yeah.
Good.
All right,
well,
thanks,
everybody. I hope to see them on my site.
Oh, you probably will. I think that I see a lot of chat going on in both chat rooms, both on Blog Talk Radio and at WebEx. There's a lot of buzz talking about the site, so there's going to be a lot of action.
Yay.
All right, thanks, everybody.
We want
everybody.
To shift
that
the consciousness.
That's right. Let's bend minds. Yes.
Triple thanks from all of us, and that was a post in the chat from Judy.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. That was a fabulous show. See you next week.